Hey, what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 72 of the Ringside Rundown podcast, brought to you by TWM.news. My name is Eric Vasquez. Joining me on the line is my podcasting partner in crime. Yes, that rhymes. She is Shay Hickson. Shay, what's going on, my friend?
Yeah, what's up? Not much. Just finally got to watch Elimination Chamber this morning, so I'm excited and ready to talk about this because I thought it was a pretty decent pay-per-view or premium live event. I'm sorry, but you know, same thing. Either way, it was good.
Yeah, we got we're going to be talking about Elimination Chamber. We got a bunch of questions that came through the mailbag, so we have a pretty huge mailbag segment. So all in all, should be a good show. Why don't we get right into it? Why don't we talk about Elimination Chamber first, since it's fresh in our minds? Like you said, you watched it this morning. I watched it live, and I also watched it again earlier this afternoon, a couple hours ago. So it's pretty fresh in my mind, my thoughts on the show. Overall, I thought it was a pretty good show. What'd you think?
I did too. Aside from maybe one match that we'll obviously get to, and I think a lot of people would agree, kind of was just like, whatever, it was what it was. Every other match I thought was really, really good for different reasons. So I agree, it was good.
Yeah, and this was interesting because it was technically a really short show. It was five matches and two chamber matches out of the five. So that took up a good chunk amount of time. But all in all, they're kind of compressing these premium live events aside from WrestleMania, which is two nights and it's probably going to have a million matches for us to watch and cover.
I mean, who would have thought that Triple H realized and remembered that the NXT formula for takeovers worked really, really well? And who would have thought? It does.
That's very true. I didn't even think about it that way, but that's a very good point. Smaller matches kind of hold our attention span a little bit better.
That, and I think, too, they kind of, I mean, if it were me, at least, obviously we can't speak for WWE in general, but if you kind of look over at like AEW's pay-per-views, you're like, oh my God, these things never end because it's just a whole bunch of matches thrown onto a card and some of them are way too long for their own good. And then by the time you get to an actually good match, maybe the 20 to 25 minute long match in front of it just completely killed the crowd. So we always say sometimes less is more. And I think WWE's finally realizing that.
Yeah, definitely. And just because it was five matches doesn't mean they didn't pack in a lot of good stuff. They packed in a lot of great stuff. The chamber matches were excellent. Like you said, we'll talk about the other matches, but why don't we get right into it? The women's chamber match is what kicked off the show between the six women. It was Asuka facing Carmella, Nikki Cross. Who else was in there? Natalia was in there. Then we had Raquel Rodriguez. And I always forget the last one. It always escapes me who was the last one.
Did you say Carmella already or Liv?
Yeah, Liv. Liv was the last one I didn't say. Liv Morgan. So you had six. Yeah, you had six women in there, all vying for a chance to face Bianca Belair at WrestleMania for the Raw Women's Championship. And I gotta say, this chamber match really delivered on what I expect out of a chamber match, which is I like a little bit of carnage, you know, not necessarily violent blood or anything like that, but just a little bit of carnage just to get things going. And they definitely delivered in this match.
And what I liked about it too was that they lay that match out perfectly so that every single woman played to their character to perfection, pretty much, because you had Liv doing all of this crazy shit. Like, I mean, that sense of power bomb from the cage, absolutely insane. That was probably like my favorite moment of the night. You had Rodriguez, of course, like, you know, running over everybody, being as dominant as she usually is. You had Natty kind of playing up to the crowd because, of course, Montreal. Yeah, Nikki Cross just running all over there like the Energizer Bunny, which is what I think she's best at. We kind of even talked about it this morning when we were watching it, my mom and I. That should have just been Nikki all along. We didn't have to go to the stupid almost a superhero stuff. If you would have just kept sanity version of Nikki, things would have been so much different because she just fits that role really well. And then obviously you got Asuka just mowing through everybody, and I mean everybody, and Carmella playing essentially the chicken shit heel. So everybody got their time to shine, and nothing really felt out of place. Like, I mean, Rodriguez running Nikki through a pod would have been the only way you could have gotten rid of someone like Nikki. The only way she got eliminated was when Asuka and Carmella just knocked her senseless with all of those kicks, so that made sense. And we were right. We expected Asuka to win this chamber match, and she did, because who else could it have been? And it could, I mean, Liv, maybe, but I'm glad that they're still, and I'm glad that they're doing this too. And I've noticed this lately where even if she's losing, they're making her look really, really good in doing so.
Yeah.
Like, you have her doing all this crazy stuff, and the only way she gets eliminated is because she passes out, because you have Carmella, or no, it was Natty, right? It was Natty and Asuka both.
Yeah, Natty and Asuka. Yeah, they had her in there. She passed out with a smile on her face.
Yeah, so it's like they're still kind of hinting at a more sadistic kind of side to her, so I'm kind of wondering what's going on there. I have a theory of my own, but maybe we'll save that for later. But but yeah, so I thought it was a really, really good match. The right woman won, because Asuka and Bianca at WrestleMania, my God, that is going to be an incredible match. I cannot wait for that to happen. I did find it interesting, though, that it pretty much guaranteed they weren't main eventing. It was going to be, I'm pretty sure it's going to be Charlotte and Rhea, because I caught in the beginning when they were explaining the rules of the match, it just said, whoever wins the match will go on to face Bianca Belair at WrestleMania. Not main event. We'll just face her at WrestleMania. So, which I kind of figured. I figured they were going to have Rhea and Charlotte as like the main event of probably night one, because God forbid they do it for night two, but whatever. I'm just happy they'll be main eventing WrestleMania. But yeah, it was just, I thought it was a really good match. It was a lot of fun. And Shayna's Elimination Chamber record didn't get broken. So you know what? I was happy all around.
Everything worked for you there.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it was a really good chamber match. Like I said, the carnage was on point. The women took chances and took risk and made everything look very well. And like you said, not surprised with the winner. We both predicted Asuka to win. So Asuka winning was a cherry on top. So I asked you guys on Twitter what you guys thought of the match and what were your flame emoji grades, as I do for every premium live event. And you guys came in full force. And 55% of the votes that came in for this match gave it 4 flame emojis. Mm-hmm. So safe to say you guys enjoyed it. Jeffrey, our good friend Jeffrey Merchant, said he loved the opener. Liv fought tough, but the right woman won. And I cannot wait for Belair versus Asuka. Gotta agree with you there. Definitely on point with that assessment. And our good friend Mike Simpson also said on Twitter, lots of fun in that match. Cross was in short, but was very effective. Raquel was brutalized to be eliminated. Mella was perfect chicken heel. Liv won in losing, and Asuka looked terrifying. Mm-hmm. And Natty got the Canadian love. So, very good assessment there.
Yeah, I can't add any more to it. Mike hit it right on the head.
Yeah, definitely. So, we move on to the next match. And, man, this one was something. We're talking about Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley. A match that could have, that I would say had potential.
Yeah.
You know, could have been something, not, you know, blowing us out of the water, but, you know, for what we expected to be, it could have even been better.
It should have been, but it was just, that ending just killed it.
The ending came when Bobby Lashley had Brock Lesnar in the Hurt Lock. And the only way Brock Lesnar could escape the Hurt Lock was kicking Bobby below the belt, causing a disqualification.
Which, is for somebody like Lesnar, is such a chicken shit way to lose a match or just get out of a like hold. It's like, you're Brock Lesnar. Like, why are you all of a sudden like low blowing people? So whatever, that was what it was. And then I've said it before. And then all the stuff he does after the bell, when he like attacks the ref and attacks him again and puts Lashley through a table, it's just like, I don't get why people still eat this up, because it happens every single time Lesnar comes back. It is so old. It's so boring. Like, as soon as he picked the ref up, I'm like, okay, I'm falling asleep because I'm bored, because he's done this before. And is he gonna get in trouble? No, why would he? But Lashley can get suspended for barely even going near a ref, and yet Lesnar can just fully assault one of them repeatedly and he gets off scot-free. So it's like, that's cool. Yeah, I was bored afterwards. I'm just like, this is nothing original. This is nothing new. I'm not sure why people still eat it up, but for some reason they do. So sure.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it at all. I was okay with the match up until that point. Like you said, it's so weird that they have to figure out a way to protect Brock Lesnar at this point when he can't just figure out a good creative way to make this match work. So I asked you guys what you thought on Twitter. Jeffrey Merchant said that was such a cop out. Total BS ending, and the match just wasn't very good at all. I'm over this feud. Are you over this feud as well?
Yeah, at this rate, especially, I just don't get why they did it the way they did, because you, kind of like what I touched on earlier, you made Lesnar look desperate, because which is literally what it was. He was so desperate to get out of the Hurt Lock that he low blowed him and then literally turns right around and is just the unstoppable like beast incarnate that he always is. So it's like, which one is he? Is he desperate or is he still the beast? Like, I don't get it. Kind of over it. I've been over it. I mean, again, I'm not, you guys know it. I'm not a Lesnar fan, so I really don't care what he's in. So it's just like, yeah, this couldn't be over fast enough, and he couldn't leave fast enough for me, but he's not, so.
Yeah. Mike on Twitter said, I'd say it makes sense if they wanted to extend the feud to Mania, but with Bray mentioning both men on SmackDown, it doesn't seem to make sense to continue it. It was a head-scratching decision, and not in a good way. Yeah, that's one little thing. Bray Wyatt on SmackDown mentioned that he basically called out the winner between these two men and said, I want next, which is kind of out of character and kind of weird. Yeah. But again, with this situation where, you know, you get a shitty ending like this, does that mean, like, is he going to go after both? Who is he going to go after? Are they going to continue the feud? So it's definitely interesting to see what's going to go on forth with Brock Lesnar. I say he probably gets suspended and fined for attacking a referee.
Which is like business as usual for him, so whatever. I mean, maybe technically since Wyatt said I'll take the winner of this, then technically it'd be Lashley, so maybe him and Lashley, and then maybe Lesnar and Gunther. That would be kind of fun, but I still think it's gonna be him and Sheamus maybe, but I don't know. It was just that was pretty much, as I kind of alluded to earlier, the low point of the pay-per-view, because everything else after that was great. It was just that was not good.
Just to let you guys know, the votes for that match, 55% gave it one flame emoji.
Yep.
55%. So it's weird because when Brock Lesnar, like you said earlier, when he goes on these tirades, the crowd goes crazy, but everybody at home is just like, oh, here we go again. Like,
literally.
It's so weird. It's definitely a weird dynamic when it comes to Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, it's just, I just don't get it.
Yeah. Next up, we had the Grit Couple, Edge and Beth Phoenix, both WWE Hall of Famers, taking on Rhea Ripley and Finn Balor in a mixed tag match. This was a fun match. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the little bit of mixed. It was a mixed tag match, but it didn't feel that way. It felt more like an intergender tag match. And then you had Dom on the outside being ex-con Dom.
That crowd hated him. Something fierce. Oh, my God.
Every crowd. That's his one saving grace, is that every crowd just hates him. And he can eat it up and be a great heel. So he's got a lot going for him. But, man, you were right. They were just on him like crazy. And then when he got chased out of the arena by Edge only to come back.
Oh, it was something.
I thought that was great. Like I told you earlier in the pre-production meeting, I thought Beth showed a little bit of ring rust, but nothing too offensive that it brought down the match. Like you said, Rhea Ripley was able to carry her and make the match go smoothly. I thought it was great. I thought the right team won. What'd you say?
Honestly, I think the reason you kind of saw the ring rust is that it seemed like Rhea and Beth kind of carried most of the match. Because they were in that match for quite a bit. I mean, obviously, Edge and Finn kind of got to the end, so they got the tag and whatnot, but they did pretty good, I think. Yeah, I mean, Beth hasn't wrestled since, boy, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been years.
Been a hot minute, so I have a feeling they may revisit Rhea and Beth at some point, which I'll be perfectly fine with, because those two just going at it is very entertaining. As for Finn and Edge, I don't really know. I don't think they're going to go back to them. It just, I don't know.
I always thought they were going to tease Demon Finn Balor versus Edge, but I guess we never get that.
Which is a shame, because that would have been a lot of fun too. But, Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where they go with that. But obviously, we know where Rhea is going next, so that's going to be fun. But yeah, this match wasn't bad. And then the Shatter Machine at the end, like, I know what you guys were doing there. Like, come on.
Yeah, they knew what they were doing. Edge and Beth hit the Shatter Machine to get the win. Like we said, it was a fun little match. Asked you guys what you thought. And this is interesting. It came up tied for both 4 and 3 flame emojis for 44% of the votes that came in for the match. You guys thought it was good between 3 and 4 flames. And I got to agree with that assessment. I think three flames is a good vote for me. What say you?
Yeah, I'd say 3, maybe 3.5. Wasn't perfect, but it wasn't like terrible either. So I'd say it was pretty good.
Yeah. Jeffrey on Twitter said he enjoyed this one. It was a lot better than the last match. I want to see Beth have another run now. Oh, that'd be interesting to see Beth Phoenix go on another run.
Yeah.
Mike on Twitter said it was a really fun match. Dom continues to be a lightning rod no matter what he does. The ladies powerbombing the men was terrific. I gotta agree that was a definite great spot in the match. Again, a fun little match between the two teams there, and a nice little, it wasn't, like you said, because of the Lesnar match and everything that happened with Lesnar, it wasn't really like a cool down, but it was a good spot on the card.
Yeah, I think so. I think the fans wanted something better than what they just saw, and I think they got it.
Definitely. And then we have the men's Elimination Chamber match. This one was for the United States Championship, which Austin Theory was defending against Seth Rollins, Bronson Reed, Johnny Gargano. You're going to have to help me here because my memory, you know me.
All right, so I got Austin Theory, Rollins, Bronson Reed, Montez Ford, Johnny Gargano, and Damian Priest.
There you go. She's better at this stuff. I get on cue and it's like my brain just goes like, what just is shuts happening? Off. Uh-huh. Yeah, just it's like the Windows shut off noise. Just
yeah.
Gone. Honestly.
It happens.
But yes, this was equally as good as the women's chamber match. This one had carnage. It had all the big spots. My favorite spot was Montez Ford doing that Spider-Man sort of impersonation where he did a flip and using the cage and then splashed onto everybody. That was neat. Then Johnny Gargano hitting a Hurricane Rana on Rollins off of the pod was pretty cool. Yeah. So this one had a couple high spots in there that the crowd really seemed to enjoy. It was a pretty good match. What say you?
I completely agree. It was just as good as the women's. It had the carnage. It even had some funny moments too, like when Rollins and Gargano were up on the pod and they're just kind of sitting there like, hey, what's up? How's it going? And Rollins just like slaps him right on the chest. I thought that was funny. And I don't know why, but it made me laugh too when Ford Montez was going up the cage and Cole's just like, where's Montez going? It was just the disappointment in his voice. He's like, what are you doing? It was just, I don't know. It was just something kind of sneaky that made me laugh. But yeah, again, it was just like the women. Everyone had their time to shine. Everyone played their roles well. It was kind of like, it was almost like Gargano and Rollins kind of had their own, kind of had the same role where they were just being wrecking balls, just kind of running all over the place, taking the heat. You had Bronson Reed being a wrecking ball in and of itself, which was good to see. It's nice to see him getting some time to shine. Damian was as good as ever, which I'd love to see him get some more gold. He's just right now, I think he's just firing on all cylinders. So it'd be nice to see Damian get some recognition and some gold. And of course, Austin Theory is a chicken shit heel, and he played up very well. And honestly, this is going to sound very surprising because we've said this kind of stuff before. The ending didn't really take away from it for me with Logan Paul. I mean, of course, when I saw him, I'm like, oh, God, why is he here? But it made sense in the grand scheme of things because obviously they're setting up for Seth and Logan at WrestleMania, and then that's how Theory escapes with the title. So I wasn't mad at it.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, how they're setting this up with the little bit of chirping on social media that leads to Logan Paul showing up and decapitating Rollins and hitting him with a curb stomp, allowing Austin Theory to pick up the win. But yeah, I agree with everything you said about the match. Everything was on point. Asked you guys what you thought on Twitter. Jeffrey said Montez Ford MVP. Hate that Theory won, but it is what it is. Great chamber match with plenty of crazy spots, lots of fun. And then Mike on Twitter said, every challenger looked great in that match. All had great moments. Theory did his job to be a punching bag and swoop in when he needed to. Insane match. So much fun. I gotta agree with you there. And so I know you're not the biggest Logan Paul fan, but of course he comes in with a lot of fanfare, I guess you could say. I guess people are definitely looking forward to this match with between him and Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. What about you?
I think it's because they just want to see him get his ass kicked. I think that's pretty much how it is. But I mean, it should be very entertaining. You have two very big personalities going at it. And clearly, as much as a lot of people don't like Logan Paul, he's proven that he can hold his own in the ring. So if he could go against someone like Seth Rollins, that's a pretty big deal. I mean, he's already gone against Roman Reigns of all people. So I think this will be a pretty fun one. As much as I don't like Logan Paul, I'm just going to be happy to see him get his like head caved in, hopefully.
I figured you would say as much.
Oh, well, you know me.
I know you very well. But then we move on. Like we said, there was only five matches on the card, but five very solid matches. Well, four and Brock Lesnar. Then we move on to the main event, which saw hometown boy Sami Zayn challenge for the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship against his former stablemate, his former friend, his former confidant in Roman Reigns. What a match. What a weekend for Montreal. Just insane. Before it took them at least 5 minutes to lock up because the crowd was just going insane.
Yeah, it was, that was storytelling at its finest, I believe. I feel like it's one of those where the crowd helped make it better because they were biting on every near fall that they had. It was insane. That crowd was pretty much on its feet almost the entire time. And honestly, I'm surprised that I know a lot of people would have been like after the second ref bump would have been like, oh, seriously, we're doing this again. But it worked. I think it worked really well because then you got Jay coming out and everyone's like, what's he going to do? And they were kind of throwing it back to the Royal Rumble a little bit and alluding to, here, Jay, you take the chair. I'm going to trash talk him, leaving my back exposed. And it was just, you could just talk about this for another like 2 hours. You can make a whole like part two episode of just this match in and of itself. But it was just so good. And it actually made you believe that Sami was going to win at a couple points. Like
the close calls were insane. Were something else. Yeah, the close finishes. I was counting them with each fall was just like, oh my God, can you get any closer than that? But it was just, it adds another wrinkle to it too, because Jay came out there. He didn't attack Sami. He didn't do what Roman wanted him to do. And he ended up inadvertently getting speared accidentally by Sami. So what does that do? What does that change? But I don't see, here's the thing. I don't know what the story's going to be, because now Sami lost. You know, he lost the match. It was a hard fought in, you know, performance, but he didn't get the job done. So now do they simply just move on to Cody? Or do they try to work something in with Sami? Because that's the Sami stuff was hot, you know?
Yeah, and it was so eerie how you could have almost heard a pin drop when Roman, like when that third fall hit, like it just went silent, essentially just silent. And you never hear that. There's always some boos or just like some type of sound. And it was just so eerie. But and just looking at when they camera panned into the crowd, just the looks of just heartbreak and disbelief and just, it was just, oh, it was so good. And if you couldn't add any more wrinkles into the story, Kevin comes out afterwards, completely cleans house, but he doesn't embrace Sami. They just kind of like look at each other. So it's like, are they going to be okay again? Are they going to have to like work together for something? Is Roman going to get Jay to come back? Because he could just say, well, look what he did to you. He speared you. See, he doesn't care about you. He took you out. Just when you think there isn't enough wrinkles, we find some more. And
yeah,
it's still entertaining. That's the thing. Because, not like you said, what are they doing with Sammy now? Is he going to go with Kevin? Is he going to get put into the WrestleMania main event? Like, what's going to happen? I don't know. Yeah,
I don't know either. And the good thing is WrestleMania is kind of not far away, but we got at least, like, what, like 40-something days, 50-something days to figure this out. Because the main goal is you got to build up Cody. You can't just leave Cody by the wayside. But the thing is, the Sami Zayn stuff is really, really hot, and you know. Yeah. So it's just like, what do you do? It's a good creative problem to have, I guess.
Well, yeah, it's just like, it's insane though, because now it's like, all right, what do you do? Because you don't want to forget about Cody, but at the same time, you don't want to forget about Sammy, and it's I don't know. These are the kind of storylines where I don't envy Triple H at all, because he could very easily just screw this up. And they could have easily screwed this one up too. They could have made Roman look great and Sammy look like a chump. They could have just made it too long. They could have made it too short. They could have just, there were so many ways this match could have went wrong, and somehow they just made it into a masterpiece. That's pretty much all you could really say.
Yeah, definitely hit the nail on the head with that there. Roman Reigns gets the win after all the things that, I mean, like you said, two ref bumps, Jimmy showing up and super kicking him to death, and then Jay showing up and getting speared, but Roman ends up figuring out a way to get the win. And you gotta give credit to Sammy, he almost had it. Asked you guys what you thought on Twitter. 78% of the votes that came in for this match gave it 4 flame emojis.
Yeah.
So that'll tell you exactly what everybody thought. Everybody thought this was a great match. Montreal crowd really added to the match.
Yeah,
that's all you really could say, is that the Montreal crowd just really added to the match.
If you would have had that in any other city, it would not have been as impactful as it was.
That's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it. I agree. But yeah, all in all, that was the Elimination Chamber Premium Live Event. Asked you guys what you thought of the event altogether, and 58% of the votes that came in for that tweet gave it 4 flame emojis, so safe to say you guys really enjoyed Elimination Chamber, and I think it was the perfect pay-per-view to lead in to WrestleMania, probably better than it's been in years.
Yeah, it was a really good, honestly, I would have given a 3.5 just for the Lesnar-Lashley match alone, but I can see why people gave it 4. It was a really good show.
Yeah, it was a really good show. Definitely gets you excited for WrestleMania, and I'm excited to see what their plans are for WrestleMania.
Absolutely, it's going to be a fun, I think it's like 40 something days, so
yeah,
the road to WrestleMania starting.
Yeah, and then we get to cover it all, and not only that, but it's 2 nights, as it's been for a couple years. Yeah. So that's a ton of matches to go through.
We're not gonna get some sleep in a few weeks, that's for sure.
Nah, definitely gonna need the coffee on tap.
Yeah, for you, I don't know,
we'll get you an energy drink or something.
Yeah, I'll drink like a Celsius or like just have some soda. We'll see what happens.
No Prime energy drink for Logan Paul?
Well, absolutely not. See, I'm not much of an energy drink person in general. The closest thing I'll do is Celsius, just for like for working out after work. And other than that, no Monster, no Red Bull, nothing.
All right, so there you have it. No energy drinks for Shay here. Now, moving on, we have the mailbag segment, and we have a couple good questions in there, so why don't we get into it, and why don't we answer what the fans want us to answer, what they want to know.
Yes, let's do it. So we're going to start with Jeff's questions. So Jeff, thank you as always.
Thank you, Jeff.
This first one, I was wondering when I saw the outcome of this match on Twitter, I was expecting him to ask us a question about this. So he said, I guess congratulations to Mercedes Moné for winning the IWGP Women's title, but am I the only person who thinks she shouldn't have won? He thinks that Kairi deserved a longer reign as the first champion.
I would agree.
I was surprised she won. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't like following it very well. I mean, I heard that they had like what technical difficulties that delayed the start of the show for like 45 minutes. So that was great. I'd be real mad if I spent money on that, but I didn't get to see much of the match. I heard it was a good match. I heard it was a really good match, but yeah, just by seeing that on Twitter, I was like, huh, that was quick. That was a little too quick, I think. But I guess I'm not surprised. I have a feeling, though, because I remember when we were talking to Jeff about this when he was on the show. He had said that the problem was that she didn't really get a big reaction in Japan because they're not as familiar with the WWE superstars and the popularity over here. So I wonder if they did it in San Jose because they knew they were going to get the biggest reaction.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, this match sold out the show before any other matches were announced.
Yeah.
This was the only match announced that, and then the show was just sold out from then on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people were looking forward to this match. As far as the question, I would say I'm a little surprised as well. Only because, like you said, you figure with someone the caliber of Kairi, you figure she would hold on to the belt a little bit longer. Yeah. And, you know, there's tons of matches you could probably do that people would want to see for the championship. Not to say that that's not going to happen with Mercedes Moné, but I feel like she just came in there and got what she wanted, you know?
Yeah, like I said, I would have liked to have seen how different it would have been if the first, like, pay-per-view she was wrestling on wasn't in the United States. If it would have been in Japan, I wonder if things would have been different.
Ah, very good point.
Gotta start the controversy somehow, right? But yeah, I was very surprised as well. So it'll be very interesting to see what they do with Mercedes and how long she holds onto the belt and who she wrestles. I know Jeff will be paying very close attention, so I will be excited to hear his inside scoops from all this stuff going on.
For sure.
All right, so then we come back to WWE for his next question. He said, the cracks seem to be getting bigger, so how much longer does the bloodline last, or can Roman somehow pull them all back together?
Why don't you take that?
I feel like after a certain few cracks, you can't really fix anything. So I have a feeling that this is all just going to explode in a very grand fashion because you kind of have to. I feel like it would be very anticlimactic, especially for fans now who I feel like have been kind of wondering how they're going to, you know, get rid of the bloodline as a faction. And I feel like if you kind of pull the rug out from under them and go, oh yeah, just kidding, guys, it was here all along, some people might be like, wait, I thought you guys were done. Now what else? Now what do you do? Because you don't want to run the risk of this going too long, even though it's been going on for years at this point. But eventually people are going to get tired of it. It's just a matter of when. I feel like the short answer is yeah, I feel like at some point the bloodline's going to explode because I feel like it has to. It just has to explode in some like grandiose way because you got to get the drama and the entertainment in it. And what better way to infuse some drama and entertainment into WWE than the bloodline? Because that's what they've been doing for years at this point.
Yeah, it's their best story that's been out for a very long time. So as far as like when it'll all come to a head, I think WrestleMania mm-hmm. will start to see the big implications of what could happen without with the world without the bloodline, let's just say.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know. I'm hoping that this Cody storyline, it can really culminate into something big. It's gonna be tough because that reaction that Sammy got, I get that it's his hometown, but man, that was something special. You know, can Cody garner that reaction? Because we really need Cody to be that good of a baby face to be the perfect counterpart to Roman Reigns. You know, and I think, like you said, they don't want it to go on too long. So I figure by WrestleMania, you know, Roman's going to lose the belt. I don't know if the Usos will lose, but it might be a good time for them to lose the belts as well. And if that happens where the bloodline doesn't have any titles, what's the point? You know?
Yeah. And I feel like they have a pretty good out for destroying the bloodline because Roman's had been getting so paranoid about Sami Zayn. What's not to say he could start to get paranoid about his own blood, too? Oh, well, Sami betrayed me, so what's going to stop you guys from betraying me, too? Like, you could literally just twist it into Roman just becoming paranoid with the power he's achieved over the last almost 1,000 days.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of theories on social media where it all comes full circle and it all comes back to Jey Uso. Being the one to put the stop to Roman Reigns. So what if Cody loses And then we go on to Jey Uso. We go back.
Wouldn't that
to
be
Jey
the
Uso.
Ultimate? Wouldn't that be the ultimate swerve though? Because everyone's expecting Cody, and it's going to be Jey. Oh my goodness.
That'll be something.
People would have a field day with that one.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Ooh, I kind of want to see it though. I kind of want to pop some popcorn to see the internet wrestling community just explode if it's Jey Uso that ends up winning it, not Cody.
Wow, that would be something.
Oh, wouldn't it though? That would be. Well, hey, it would be on brand for the Bloodline, so I'm excited to see it. All right, so this one is more of a comment, and I tend to agree with this one. He's predicting it now that both Asuka and Rhea win their respective championship matches at WrestleMania.
Mm. Which already getting those early predictions in.
And I hate to admit it, but I agree with them because I love Bianca, don't get me wrong, but you can't just beat somebody like Asuka, especially with this I wouldn't say it's a new development because she's had it before, a rediscovering of her more sadistic side. So you can't just have Asuka come back as the Kana persona and then immediately have her lose to Bianca. Like you can't do that.
Because yeah, I don't think that. I think it's a similar situation on a smaller scale to the Roman Reigns things, because look how dominant Bianca Belair has been with the Raw Women's Championship ever since winning it. She's been champion for what, like the whole year?
Yeah, and I feel like her losing wouldn't hurt her at all, honestly.
No, it wouldn't. She's that good. Like, you know, yeah. And to think, like, she's only a two-time champion at this point. If it was, like, if this was years ago, WWE would have been a seven-time champion by now. Yeah. She would have flip-flopped the belt a bunch of times. But they figured they have a star in her. She has athletic ability that not a lot of women on the roster have. Yep. So she's done a great service to the Raw Women's Championship. But you got to lose somehow.
Exactly. You know? I agree. And honestly, on the other side, Rhea losing this match to Charlotte would be some Vince McMahon level booking, I think, because you have the story set right out in front of you. Charlotte said it herself. When you challenged me, you thought you had it all figured out, essentially. You thought you were like the hot shit, and I showed you that I was still the queen. That is not the same Rhea Ripley now that was back then. So this is just an easy story of Rhea being like, you know what, now I'm the new star in town, your time is up, it's my time to shine. And I need to see it happen. I have to see it happen. Like, you cannot have Charlotte beat Rhea for a second main event of WrestleMania again.
Yeah, I think that is part of the story. I think this is where Rhea Ripley gets her win back that she lost from WrestleMania a couple years ago. I think that's the story, and that's what's going to happen is Rhea is going to get her win back. She's just too dominant right now. She's probably the most dominant woman on the roster.
Exactly, and you can't have another instance of, oh, well, there's this very, very dominant woman going up against Charlotte and ends up getting running into a brick wall, because we've seen that happen with Asuka. So let's not see it happen again with Rhea, please, I'm begging. So I would have to agree with Jeff. I think both of them are going to win their titles at Mania, and I'm going to be very happy when it happens.
Should be good.
I feel like we've talked about this one a couple times before, but we can always revisit it. Do we think Roman is going to defend both titles or just one at WrestleMania?
I think Cody is his only challenge at WrestleMania. I don't think they're going to do two matches where I have him. I mean, I could be wrong, but I feel their greatest strength in this whole storytelling thing is keeping it simple, not over convoluting it with a bunch of different pieces.
No, just convoluted Cody.
Remember that? Convoluted Cody.
I sure do.
Yeah, so I think that's their greatest strength, is they're not putting too much into this. They're keeping it very simple, so that way they don't run into any creative hiccups. And I think they're going to stick with that. And it would kind of be unfair to Cody to have that happen, where he wins the Royal Rumble, he wins his right, and then he's got to kind of share the spotlight with somebody else, you know?
Yeah, and I think it would also be stupid, too, to just have one of the titles just sit there and not be defended at WrestleMania. So I feel I feel like it would have to be both of them. It would just make the most sense, I would think.
Right.
All right. And then Jeff's last question is, with that cop-out finish to Lesnar and Lashley, how does that affect Bray Wyatt's calling them out, and do we even want to see that match? Well, I said it earlier, I think it might, I guess, lean towards Lashley and Wyatt, since Wyatt technically did say, whoever wins this match, I want next. So it would be Lashley. I mean, I would be a little interested to see how they play that up, because we know that Bray's a very psychological kind of character, and Lashley is very resolute, I'd say, for the most part. So how much could he take before he cracks, I think, would be very interesting to see. But yeah, but I feel like if Wyatt beats Lashley, that would be kind of a, they would have to do it a certain way. I don't know how, but you couldn't just have him outright get beat, because someone like Lashley would be very odd to see him just lose clean. But I don't know. It's I'll be very interested to see how they do that, if that's where they go. But yeah, I don't know if that changes anything, especially with as stupid of an ending that was at a Elimination Chamber.
Right. I think it's just that, and I was trying to figure out a way to articulate this as best I could, but it's hard, because it's just like, it's frustrating as a fan, you know, because you want to see something out of Lesnar. You want to see him do his thing where he goes on the destructive rampage, but you also want to see some definitive endings to his stories, you know?
Or something new.
Yeah, because, like, he's not the type that he can do these long storylines like Roman Reigns or anything like that. His is very short. So when you do these dusty finishes and everything like that, it's just like, it's just so aggravating, and so hard to articulate why people want to see him, but then they don't want to see him do the usual shit.
Yeah, it's like, you got to pick a lane, guys.
You know?
Yeah.
And then with Bray Wyatt, it would be interesting to see Bray Wyatt and Brock Lesnar have some interaction, because, like you said, Bray Wyatt is more of a psychological character, so he can play on the mind games with Brock, and it would be interesting to see how Brock reacts to people playing mind games with him.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the one thing you don't want to do with Brock Lesnar, is try to play mind games with him and aggravate him any further.
Yeah.
But Bray Wyatt can do that and not have a care in the world.
Same with Lashley, too.
Yeah, but Lashley's more like he's not the type to be unhinged. Like you said, he's a little bit more resolute.
Yeah.
You know, he's not as unhinged as Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar, you try to mess with his head and he'll just snap.
He'll just destroy the entire officiating crew at that point, because that's all he can do.
Poor referees.
I would not want to be a referee anywhere near vicinity of Brock Lesnar, because...
No way.
Piss him off the wrong way, and he'll just F5 you through a table, I guess.
And that the one thing is, you don't know if that was supposed to happen.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
Because he tends to go off script.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So the whole time he's destroying the referee, I'm like, I wonder if that's supposed to happen.
Yeah, and I wonder if poor Triple H is in the back going, ah, God damn it, Brock, you did it again, Jesus. He's like, well, I'm going to have to pay that ref extra, but...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be something, let's just put it that way.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so we go... So that was all Jeff's questions, so Jeff, thank you again.
Thank you, Jeff.
We are going to go to Mom's questions next. So Mom, thank you. All right, we're going to go backwards on some of hers, because why not? Do we think Sammy should have won the title match? Yeah, it's tough, because you don't want to, like, be that person, but I feel like, honestly, the answer is no, at least for me, because...
Interesting.
I feel like... It's so tough, because you get, like, the emotional side of it, and... Like, you know, Sammy's the hometown guy, whatever. You want the feel-good moment. But I feel like if you look at it objectively, Roman losing to someone like Cody is a little more impactful, I would think, than losing to, like, Sammy. Just on paper. If you take, like, the emotion and stuff out of it, you'd look at it on paper and you would go, well, yeah, of course he's going to lose to someone like Cody. So I guess it was the right move. It just kind of sucks because you get the emotions into it and it just becomes a mess. But... Yeah, I'll just say that no, I don't think he should have won. So I think they made the right decision.
I think they made the right decision, but see, I'm coming from it from a standpoint, I wouldn't have been mad either way.
Yeah.
Either way, I could have seen some good come out of it. You know, Sammy would have won. He would have gone on to WrestleMania to face Cody Rhodes, and that would have been a phenomenal match in its own right.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just a great babyface. I feel like I said this before about Sami Zayn. He's the guy that everybody can get behind because he's a wonderful underdog. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, I'm not mad that Roman won because Roman's been Roman.
Yeah, we're not surprised.
Look at his resume, you know? Yeah. And I was just looking at it. Somebody had posted it up on Facebook, all of the people that Roman has beaten ever since his last time he got pinned. And the list is just crazy. There's names that there's people in there that are not even with the company anymore.
Nope. No,
that's,
it's insane.
That's the craziest part is there's people on that list that Roman has beat that's not even with the company.
Nope. That just shows you how long it's been. It's been almost 3 years. It's insane.
Yeah. And it's like, whoever comes after this reign is going to have big shoes to fill.
Cody, essentially, I would think.
Yeah, essentially. But can Cody hold the belt for 900 days and counting?
No, absolutely not. Because I feel like the same thing that happened to him in AEW could happen to him in WWE. People will get sick and tired of him rather quickly.
Yeah.
So, I see where you're definitely coming from. I do agree with that. I wouldn't have been mad either way. I would have been genuinely surprised if Sammy won, but when Roman won, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think Roman winning was just a safe bet.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree.
It was safe.
And speaking of that match, Mom also said that she thought that match was fantastic, and she even touched on it too when we were watching it, that if you look back at Sammy's entrance, not a single person was sitting down. Like, everybody was standing. It was crazy.
That's that hometown love.
Right? I mean, as being a part of Britsburg, I get it. It's that hometown crowd. It just has that, like, special little magic to it. I don't know how to describe it. It's just that's like our person, like Montreal, obviously that's like Sammy, and here it's Brit. So it's like, I totally get it. It's a different feeling. It's a nice feeling to have like someone that's like, that's our guy or that's our girl. Like, it's a cool feeling to have.
Nice.
All right. So she thought the Beth and Rhea suplex from the top rope was absolutely brutal. Yeah, I would say I'd agree.
It definitely looked it for Rhea. Her lower back must be screaming.
Yeah, that she took a lot of punishment in that match. She was definitely the MVP, I'd say, of that match was Rhea, but that's what else is new. It's Rhea. But yeah, those two definitely held their own. And like you had said before, Beth having ring rust could have easily derailed that match, but it didn't. Everyone made it work at all.
I don't want people thinking I'm shitting on her because it was just an observation, just trying to be objective as possible. Like, the match was still fantastic. I still enjoyed the match 100%. Just a little bit of stutter stepping here and there, but nothing too detrimental to the match or anything.
Well, like you said, it never took away from it. It wasn't a detriment to the match. Yeah, so I agree. And her last comment was, it seemed like Vince booked the Bobby and Brock match. That was a stupid ending. Yeah, it was kind of like what I said earlier. It just didn't make any sense because you portrayed Brock as this desperate person who, well, I can't get out of the Hurt Lock, so I got to like low blow him. But then you turn right around and have him be the dominant Brock Lesnar he always is. So it's like, which is he? Was he desperate or was he just... I don't know. What was he doing?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think that match did any favors for Brock Lesnar.
No, it doesn't. Because you can't just hide behind the fact it's Brock Lesnar. Because if people like me, it gets old.
Yeah.
But like you said, I don't know what it is with the live crowds. The live crowds eat it up. But then everybody online and at home are like, why are we still doing this?
It's so weird. It's so weird to like... the dichotomy between the online fan and the fan that's in the audience. Like, they're going crazy in the audience for Brock Lesnar, but at home it's like, oh, here we go again.
It's an enigma, and I don't know how to describe it. It's just, I don't know.
It's definitely different.
It's something, that's for sure. So that was all of Mom's questions and comments, so thank you again.
Thank you, Mom.
We are now going to finish things up with Mike. Mike has some questions for us, so thank you again, as always. This first one was a rather interesting one, because I kind of noticed this too. What were our thoughts on Braun getting the booze?
Braun Breaker?
I believe so. I think that's who he was alluding to. Because I think I did kind of notice that on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw the clip on Twitter, and it was interesting.
Yeah.
But this is kind of like what we talked about with championships. Like, you know, like not every championship is like the Roman Reigns, where Roman Reigns makes the championship better.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that belt can be too much of a big responsibility, because as champion, you still have to be fresh. You still have to be relevant. You still have to be somewhat captivating so people can stay on your side. Mm-hmm. And I feel like maybe Braun Breaker's run his course in NXT. I don't hate Braun Breaker. I think Braun Breaker is pretty good at what he does.
Yeah, I feel like they kind of just played up to, they fell into that trap of everybody wanted Grayson Waller to win that match, and when he didn't, people got mad.
Really? Because I'm like, Grayson Waller doesn't do it for me.
No, he doesn't do it for me either, but it does seem like a lot of people wanted him to win, so I think it just fell into that trap of, well, X, Y, and Z didn't happen, so automatically we're just mad.
I can understand if that was like a Carmelo Hayes or something like that.
Yeah.
But a Grayson Waller?
No. I don't know. Apparently, who knows? I don't know.
But as far as like him getting booed, it's fickle, you know? That NXT fan base has always been pretty fickle.
Yes. Yes, they have. It is something.
As good as they are, as good as fun as they can be when they get into the show and everything like that, and like chase you and stuff like that, they have a long history of being very fickle.
Yeah, they do have a bad side to them that you don't want to get on, but it's fickle. That's pretty much what can you say.
Yeah, but
poor Braun.
You know, but Grayson Waller instead of Braun Breaker.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
You got to be kidding me.
You are not about it. You're not about it.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Not at all. Stop it.
See, you heard it here first, guys. Eric is not on with Grayson Waller at all.
Not at all.
All right. That's fair. I can see that. All right, we're going to save this one for last because we love these kind of questions. So we're going to skip that one for now. So Zayn losing, even though he had the pin with the ref being bumped, do we think because of that, does he get added to the Cody and Roman match at Mania? Oh boy.
He has a gripe there, but yeah. I don't know if that's enough.
I feel like it depends on how the crowd reacts, maybe. If the crowds like keep going after him week after week leading up to WrestleMania, I feel like you wouldn't have a choice, because then I feel like they run the risk of the fans just torpedoing the match because Sammy's not in it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But then could it be a cop out though of, okay, you put Sammy in the match, but then he can eat the pin, so technically Roman doesn't get pinned.
True, and then Roman has a gripe to say he deserves a rematch after losing the title.
Possibly,
because he never got pinned.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I wouldn't be mad that way, because at least it sets up a story that goes into January that like our creative booking wise is taken up, so like we don't have to scramble to think of something new. I don't know. Like, Sammy does have a legitimate gripe, because he did have Roman pinned after that one Helluva kick, but the ref was down. But is it enough?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't envy Triple H, because, like you said, he needs a plan for whenever Roman loses, because what the heck are you going to do with him afterwards? Yeah. Like, what do you do? So, I don't envy Triple H at all in that situation. So, God help him, because he's going to... I feel like it's just the nature of being a wrestling, like, part of a wrestling company that you're going to piss off some portion of the fan base by doing something.
You're not going to please everybody.
No, and depending on how many people that is all just relying on what happens after WrestleMania. So, I mean, I would not want to be in his shoes right now.
They just have to, I need them to build up a story to make me believe or make me, I need, a part of me wants to want Cody to beat Roman, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that way I can be invested in a story. So all I'm asking for is for them to give me a story to get invested in like they did with Sammy, and I'll be good to go.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it also doesn't help too that since we've like seen Cody in AEW, we kind of like, I don't know, I guess still have like a bad taste in our mouth maybe. So we're like, I don't want to see him win the title, but I don't know. If they can convince me, we'll see if that happens or not.
Gonna be hard to convince Shay.
It might be hard to convince you too, apparently. It depends.
Yeah, it's I mean, but that's because they've been doing so good so far. You know?
You're just expecting to slip up at some point.
It's like if they do slip up. A lot of people said they slipped up last night not giving Sammy the belt.
I wouldn't go that far, but
I'm not saying that I would either. I'm just saying I've seen a couple takes where they're like, this is the one wrinkle in the almost perfect storyline of the Bloodline. You know? And I'm just like, wow, really?
I wouldn't go that far. I think I would say that's a hot take maybe, but no, I would not go that far. The guy walking out with the title was the right person. That's what we have to say about that.
Honestly, I wouldn't expect you to say that either.
You expected me to say Sammy was going to win?
Well, I mean, just not to say, like, you know, the right guy won.
I mean, yeah. It was kind of like what you said, though. Would I have been mad if Sammy won? No. But was I mad that Roman won? Also, no. It's just how it was.
I'll take it.
But I can see that there are people that are very mad, apparently. So,
I'm sure all of Montreal was going to riot as all the signs in the audience said they were.
Well, Roman, hopefully you better go back to the hotel in one piece, because, yikes, give him some extra security, just in case. All right, so Wyatt had mentioned Bobby and Brock, obviously, but that feud didn't look like it was done because of what happened last night. So where does all of this lead? I have no idea.
A table for three episode.
God, could you imagine? Jesus. I don't know. Like, that kind of finish usually means that this feud isn't over yet. But then, like Mike said, Wyatt called both of them out. So it's like, what are we doing?
It's just so weird. Like, now that's just how we do things. You just call the person out. And that's how the match happens, you know? I'd have much rather like Bray Wyatt just show up randomly at the end and like show up on the stage.
Yeah, just look at him.
Yeah. And then they'd be like, that would have drawn me in more than Bray Wyatt just going, hey, I got next.
Yeah, because then it's like you're expecting it now. And then if it doesn't happen, you're like, well, what the hell? Why isn't it happening?
Yeah. This is one of those things where they're going to have to really make up something to make a believer out of me, whichever way they go, because Bray Wyatt is just, I'm enjoying what he's been doing with Uncle Howdy, but I feel like it needs a little bit more.
It needs more spice.
Yeah, I can feel myself getting bored with it rather quickly.
Yeah, which we don't want to do. We don't want that to happen. So we have to
not yet. I'm saying, but I can see myself where is this going? And so in a way, it's good that he has a direction to go with Bray or Bobby. It's just which one would I rather him see go up against? That's a good question.
Yeah. I think we kind of said Brock earlier.
Brock, because I think like the mind games that he does with Brock will be very interesting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because we never really see anybody play mind games with Brock Lesnar.
No.
It's always, I'm going to kick your ass, and you're going to kick my ass, and we're just going to fight.
We're just going to kick everyone's ass, and
Yeah. So no, I'm interested in seeing what mind games Bray Wyatt can play.
Yeah, I'd be very interested, too, because that could be a very interesting storyline, I think. All right. So I was hoping someone was going to ask a question about this because this was a little bit of a hot topic earlier in the week. So Tony Khan calls out Ariel Helwani about unbiased journalism because Ariel was at SmackDown and did like the voiceovers for Montreal and whatever. Do we think it's just a touch hypocritical since the Young Bucks have a move called the Meltzer Driver? Yeah, I thought it was very odd.
What's the beef between Tony Khan and Ariel Helwani anyway?
I don't know, because I guess it's just because Ariel did stuff with AEW, but then he did the voiceover videos and stuff for WWE. So it's like, okay, I didn't realize that journalism or like journalism only covered one part of the wrestling world. I think they're supposed to do all of it. So I don't know.
You don't want him to cover, pay the man.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know what the unbiased journal, it's like unbiased journalism. It's like he literally has covered some of your stuff before too, so technically is it you're kind of proving his point because he covered both WWE and AEW. That's not unbiased.
I love Michael Cole calling him the unbiased journalism.
Yeah, I know. I'm like,
journalist. Yeah, it was just like only Michael Cole would add fuel to that fire,
right? It's like, I don't, that was just another one of those where it's like, why did you let him get back on Twitter? Because that was just, it was stupid because it was like, what was the problem? What was the point?
Tony's got to worry about his ratings.
Yeah, because they're not. I mean, it's tough because it's like they're not doing terrible, but they're also not getting to a million either.
They're not, and it's like, in terms of product, TV product, they're getting blown out of water just by one storyline.
Yeah, yeah, it's what lines rule and all.
Yeah, what in AEW is equivalent to the goodness of the Bloodline?
Nothing. Like, that's an easy question. It's nothing.
And that's just one storyline.
Uh-huh.
That's just one storyline. So, like, they need something. Because, like, I don't even think this Bryan Danielson going after MJF is doing it for me.
No, because it kind of was something we've seen already with MJF before. It was the labors of MJF again, where it's like you have to go through everybody else to get to me. It's like, okay, we've seen this 10 times before. It's nothing new.
Yeah, and I don't expect him to lose his first major title defense, even though it's a 60-minute Iron Man match, which definitely doesn't favor him. It's just, I don't see him losing his first title defense.
Which is just odd that they chose it to be Danielson. So it's like,
yeah,
why him? Been
somebody else?
Kind of like how, why are we having the House of Black challenge the fucking Elite? Like, this is the one thing we didn't want to happen, Eric. This is the one thing we asked not to happen because my poor mom, because she's like, well, that doesn't automatically mean if they wrestle at Revolution, they're going to lose the titles. It's like, Tony is not taking the Trios titles off the Elite anytime soon. So what's going on? And first off, if that actually is the match for Revolution, you mean to tell me you literally weren't going to start building this up until 2 weeks before the show? Like, why?
Yeah. Like,
the House of Black is so much better than that. And so is the Elite. And you're only going to give them a 2-week build up to a title match? Come on.
That's what happens when you have an inflated roster.
Yeah.
That you have to build up, and then you have your pay-per-views. The one good thing is that their pay-per-views is like every 3 months or so.
Yeah.
But the when they do have these pay-per-views, there's like 15 matches on the card.
Yes, and so some of them don't seem important by comparison, because you could always pinpoint those matches where it's like, oh, these are the ones that we're supposed to care about, and then there's others where it's like, eh, they're there.
Yeah, they're like filler.
Yeah, so it's like, why are we going to literally going to waste the House of Black and the Elite on just a throwaway thing at Revolution? Like, I don't get it. I don't like it.
And the thing is, with their pay-per-view format being only like, you know, a couple pay-per-views a month, they could have easily just built this up for a Dynamite.
Yeah, or you could keep it, just hint at it, and then don't have it happen at Revolution and have it a Double or Nothing in May. Like,
yeah,
you could. What I hope they're going to do. I'm hoping that's what they're going to do, at least for my sanity and yours, but I have a feeling that's not going to be the case, but
it's just it's the inflated roster trying to get everybody on TV and trying to make everything relevant and elevated. It's getting too difficult.
Yeah, and from what we remember hearing about Malachi in those interviews when he took his break, you already let him down once before. Maybe let's not do it again.
Yeah, that wouldn't be in good faith.
No, not at all. So I'd like to think Tony knows what he's doing, but right now I'm a little worried. Whatever. All right, so second to last question. This one, I knew I was, again, hoping someone was going to ask this because I've been complaining about this for months now. So Moxley challenges Hangman to a Texas death match. Why can he not stay away from the blood?
I have no idea.
I wish I knew the answer, because here's the thing. It's literally like Lesnar all over again for me. Do I like Moxley? Yeah, of course. But it's like, it's a regular wrestling match. It's not a hardcore match. Why are you bleeding? Like, I don't get it. It's just a joke now on Twitter. It's like, well, there goes Mox again. He's just bleeding. It's like, is his forehead literally made of tissue paper, or is this on purpose?
And then what's the point of, like, making a Texas death match? Is that supposed to, like, reel us in and be like, oh, man,
yeah,
that's something we've never seen before?
Like, no, literally, the first thing I heard thought of when he said that was like, well, here we go. He's going to bleed again.
Yeah, it's something you see in every Mox match.
Yes, it's like, is it in his contract at this point? Like, what is it? I don't get it.
And I get that AEW's trying to be like a buffet for every wrestling fan to have different things, and you want to have the violence and everything, but maybe not running out there every week.
Literally. Like, it's supposed to be kind of a, I wouldn't say a special thing, but it's just like it's not supposed to be a regular occurrence.
Right.
If it happens in a regular wrestling match, normally it's because it's on accident. Like, someone gets hit the wrong way or whatever. This is just like every single, it doesn't prove that he's tougher than anybody. It really doesn't. It's just annoying.
That's a good way to put it. I didn't think about it that way, but that's a good way to put it. It doesn't make him tougher. It just makes him the guy that bleeds every week.
Literally. And it's like, we knew how tough he was to begin with. It's like, what's he trying to prove?
Yeah, now he's just divulged into the guy that bleeds every week.
It's like, at this point, it's becoming a gimmick, and that's not a good thing, especially for someone like him.
No, I'd much rather his wrestling do the talking and be his gimmick, because he's, like you said, it's not like we don't like him.
Yeah.
He's a great wrestler. He's a good performer. It's just the blood. And then going, you know, ooh, we're going to have a Texas death match. Well, if you look at it, every match that Jon Moxley's in is a Texas death match because he's always bleeding.
Literally. So it's like,
so like, what are you gonna, what are you doing? You know, you're trying to right. reel us in here?
Yeah, literally. It's like, as soon as he said that, someone's like, ooh, what are you gonna do? Bleed? Like, yeah. It's literally all you're gonna do. So it's like, it's nothing new. Like, I not a fan. Not a fan.
Not a fan at all.
All right. So our final question is one of our favorite kinds of questions, because it makes us think in fantasy books and things. So Mike would like us to pick a male, female, and tag team in both AEW and WWE to turn them either heel or face, depending on who it is. And who do we have? Ooh. If we could turn anybody, if we could turn one male, one female on a team in both AEW and WWE, who would it be?
I'll let you go first.
Oh, great. So let me think first. Ooh, this is tough. I feel like for AEW, for like a male, I think it would be too easy to say Adam Cole, but I feel like they're kind of doing that already, so I don't think he counts. This is a tough one. I'll start with, I guess, the females, because I guess that might be a little easier. I feel like, just out of pure stubbornness, I would turn Saraya back into, like, a face, because I feel like they never should have really turned her heel, at least not in the way they did.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, just for her sake, I would turn her back to a face, just to give her a little bit more time before they just randomly throw her as a heel for no reason whatsoever. Still thinking about a male for AEW. This is tough. This is very tough. Okay, I guess I'll go to the tag team division then, because I still can't think of anybody for the men's roster. I would so desperately want to say House of Black, but you don't really know what they are. I think they're kind of in between.
Right.
So we can't count for them, so that doesn't help. And the problem is there's just so many tag teams.
I was just going to say, AEW has a lot of tag teams to choose from.
All right, so on the fly here, I'm going to pull up the roster just for my sake because I need some help. So while I'm doing that, how about you go for like your AEW like women's turn?
Women's turn. I would like to see Ruby Soho maybe do a heel turn.
Want to make me die.
But I feel like it'll fit into the whole loner runaway personality.
Yeah.
You know? I feel like she would fit in as a good heel. Just going for that, you know, sort of vibe.
My heart.
As far as who to turn face.
This is like, honestly, I feel like Mike just meant like whoever you pick, why would you turn them the opposite? So like that's why I said with like Soraya, like I would turn her because I don't think she should have been a heel in the first place, at least not right away.
Right.
I'm trying to think of one that like wouldn't make sense, but it'd be too like not like, oh yeah, that would make sense for them to turn because of whatever. I feel like the two that I'm looking at right now, just for like curiosity alone, I would wonder what would happen if they turned Darby heel. Darby Allin. And then I think just for pure selfishness, I would love to see what they would try to do with Danhausen if they turned him into very evil Danhausen.
That'd be good.
I feel like that would be a very dangerous thing to do though, because you're not gonna get people to boo Dan. So I feel like never mind. So I'll go with Darby. I'll say if you turn Darby heel, I think it would be very interesting to see what would happen.
Looking at the roster here.
I'm trying to think tag teams too. Like what the heck? You know what? I would like to see like Nah, that doesn't count either. Never mind. Just kidding. I guess the Acclaimed. Take that and turn that back heel to see yeah, like what like that's, diss tracks.
Yeah, that was going to be my choice, was the Acclaimed, just to see.
It's the only ones I could think of. That's the worst part. Like,
because like they have so many tag teams, yet they don't solidify any tag teams. It's just the main ones.
Literally, yeah. So yeah, I'd say Darby... Darby, Soraya, and the Acclaimed are who I would turn for AEW.
For me, what about Keith Lee as a heel?
Ooh, that'd be interesting. He could go back with Swerve.
He could. I feel like he could do some damage on his own.
Oh yeah.
So that would be my choice for singles male. As far as tag team, probably the Dark Order.
Oh, turn them back to heel.
Yeah, I think they were a good heel tag team.
Interesting.
Yeah, that would be my choice for AEW. So you have, for the women, who did I pick for the women?
Ruby, as much as it made me sad.
Ruby, yes. Ruby, tag team, Dark Order. And for the men, Keith Lee.
There's some good ones.
Now for WWE.
This might be tough. All right. Actually, I suppose I should just look at like the women's roster as itself instead of just Raw and SmackDown. Oh boy. Nope, that's the wrong thing to do. Let me just Google search as we pick it on the fly here on the Ringside Rundown. All right. Wikipedia usually works better because I go by like men and women.
Yeah, good.
Okay, so nobody on Raw that I would really see turning women's wise. SmackDown. Oh, this is like really tough. Man.
This is one of the toughest questions we've had to answer on the show.
It's a good thing though, but also damn.
Making our head hurt.
No. Oh, which is a good thing, but also damn. I already know some people are going to say that this is a typical answer, but I do have a genuine reason for it. I would turn Shayna because I would like to see how she would work as like an anti-hero kind of character.
Like I want to see her go up against Ronda. Like, she's tired of taking Ronda's shit.
Exactly. Like, they could easily have her be an anti-hero badass. Because, I mean, hell, she's a badass to begin with. Just give her a noble cause, I guess. If that makes sense. Yeah, I would go with Shayna just to see if they could. Because I think she could pull it off. She has the personality for it. So I would say Shayna, I guess. Mostly because I just didn't have any other choice, really. I couldn't think of anything else. Men's wise. Wouldn't it be funny if they finally turned Cody heel? Wouldn't that be something?
Why would you put that madness into the world?
Just because I'm an agent of chaos, I suppose. Yeah, you know, just for the hell of it, let's turn Cody, see what happens, see the entire internet wrestling community burn to the ground. Tag teams. Huh. You know what? Turn Judgment Day. I'd like to see what would happen with them.
Ooh.
That could be some wild stuff, I think. Again, I just apparently am just being chaotic tonight, so So yeah, I'll say Shayna, Cody, and Judgment Day.
Those are some interesting picks.
Right. Gotta bring the chaos somehow to this channel. that's my job, apparently.
Well, for me, if I was to choose the WWE roster wise, for the women to turn, I'd probably turn heel Becky Lynch.
Oh.
Because I always enjoyed her heel work. I think she's just kind of like that natural heel. She's a good face, but yeah, she's got that natural heel quality to her.
Yeah, that's a good really one. Good.
Yeah. For the men.
It's tough. Mike threw a tough one at us.
For the men, I'd probably go with Seth Rollins, because he's just such a good chicken shit heel. Yeah. He's great at what he's doing now, but I feel like as a heel, like this persona that he puts on now works just better as a heel. Mm-hmm. And just to get under people's skin with his big red boots.
Yeah.
And his extravagant outfits. Mm-hmm. But Seth Rollins would be my male competitor to turn, and I'd like to see him heel. And then for the tag team, I would always wanted to see the Street Profits.
That was my other choice. Interesting.
Yeah, the Street Profits. I want to see what they can do as a heel. I guess I'm all about the heels.
I guess. Like, I was trying to, and I kind of went back and forth.
Yeah, you kind of mixed it up. I just went straight heel.
You went for the more sensible kind of picks, and I went, no, let's just completely flip this entire roster on its head just because.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good one. I like that one. That was a good one, Mike.
Yeah, good job, Mike.
I do believe that is actually all of the questions. We did it.
All right. That's awesome. We got through all the questions, and we got to cover Elimination Chamber. So all in all, this was a great episode. Good night, everybody. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, okay. All right, we're leaving. Bye.
No. Just to let you guys know where you can listen to this podcast. This podcast is available through anchor.fm/ringside rundown. And through Anchor FM, they distribute the podcast to different platforms like Stitcher, Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts. Wherever you listen to podcasts, this podcast is available. All you have to do is search the Ringside Rundown. And if you can't find it, just hit us up on social media at Ringside Rundown, and we will deliver a link to you on a silver platter.
Still have it.
Yep, we still have it. It's on a silver platter. Just for anybody that can't seem to find the show, if you want to listen to it, just hit us up on social media at Ringside Rundown, and we will give you the link to the episode so you can listen to it and let us know how much you loved it. As I said, you can find us on social media at Ringside Rundown. We're available on Twitter and Instagram. And every week before we do an episode, one of us will always ask you guys to send in questions, comments, opinions on anything wrestling for us to voice on the show, as we do here with the mailbag segment. And we have so much fun doing. So if you feel the need to want to get your opinion voiced on the show, all you have to do is hit us up on social media, Twitter or Instagram at Ringside Rundown. If you want to talk to me individually about wrestling or anything of the like, you can hit me up on Twitter at Wrestling Chron. That's Wrestling Chron. Shay, where can they get in touch with you?
You can find me on Twitter at ShayleneHickson21. And we always love talking to people on Twitter about wrestling and even stuff not wrestling. We do love a wide variety of things outside of the world of wrestling. So always hit us up.
Yeah, for sure. Hit us up on Twitter. Like I said, I'm available at Wrestling Chron, Wrestling Chron, if you want to talk wrestling or anything of the like. I think that pretty much sums it up, right? Did I miss anything?
No, I think we got everything.
I feel like I'm missing something. I don't know. I'm just so scrambled with my body ever since the Sami Zayn situation.
It's just thrown you for a loop.
Yeah, I had to watch it over again. And still, I was still captivated to the very end. So good on WWE for making a good story for me.
Yeah. Claps to them.
All right. So we'll be back next week with another episode of the Ringside Rundown, answering your questions on anything wrestling. So make sure you get those questions in. For Shay Hickson, my name is Eric Vasquez, and we will see you next week.
See you later, guys.